Welcome, everybody, to the Grapevine Open Meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm an alcoholic. My name is Teddy, and I'm serving you as your host for the month of June. This is the AA preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of people who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. You can enjoy this, the weekly Grapevine Open Meeting, every Wednesday at noon Eastern Time on this virtual platform. The meeting is recorded and then replayed as a podcast every Friday on all podcast platforms at aagrapevine.org and on our YouTube channel. This is an open meeting. Everyone is welcome. We are glad you are all here, especially any newcomers. If you are new to AA and want to learn more about our program of recovery from alcoholism, we encourage you to find an AA group in your area by using the official AA Meeting Guide app, available free via your device's app store. Contact with group members will help you find a sponsor and help you learn about the AA program of recovery from alcoholism. And I now get to read today's Grapevine daily quote. And I'll do that by looking at my cell phone here, because it comes in an email to me. And one of the first things I get to do is have something sobriety enhancing at the start of each day on my phone. And there is the Grapevine quote of the day. So, and no matter what mood I'm in, I always feel better after I've read the Grapevine daily quote. So the quote today is, with a recovering alcoholic, action has to come before understanding and faith. We have to act our way to right thinking rather than the reverse. And that's from the January 1968 issue of the Grapevine, What About This 24-Hour Plan? And you can also find that in our book, The Best of the Grapevine, Volume 1. So now we also, I also get to read a quote from the Grapevine magazine. And by the way, you can sign up for the daily quote as a daily email at aagrapevine.org. And you'll also find it on the app every morning as well. So the quote from this month's Grapevine, and this is this month's Grapevine issue, the June one, which has a special feature about getting sober young in AA. And I want to read a quote from, and you can see, I'm one of those people that has both the app and the magazine. I like to have digital and print. And I'm going to read from a story called Thin Ice in this month's magazine. And this is from GW in West Bend, Wisconsin. And up in the north there, they go out ice fishing on these frozen lakes. And he writes, or they write, when you are walking on ice, you can never relax. There is little trust. With every step, you listen or watch for cracks in the surface, and always worry you might end up in the freezing water and possibly never be able to climb back out. Likewise, I had no confidence I could not fall back into drinking. But by going to meetings and fellowship afterward, reading the big book, starting to work on the steps, and searching for a sponsor, I started to relax, breathe a bit easier, and believe I could keep walking forward. I began to believe this ice would hold me up, because I saw it holding up others who walked in front of me. I just followed them. That's the quote from the magazine this month. And then I'm also going to read a quote from our big book, Alcoholics Anonymous. And the quote I'm going to read is found on page 25 in the chapter, There is a Solution. There is a solution. Almost none of us likes the self-searching, the leveling of our pride, the confession of shortcomings, which the process requires for its successful consummation. But we saw that it really worked in others, and we had come to believe in the hopelessness and futility of life as we had been living it. When, therefore, we were approached by those in whom the problem had been solved, there was nothing left for us but to pick up the simple kit of spiritual tools laid at our feet. And one of the reasons I chose that was that my first sponsor, that was my nice zhuzhi big book. This is my real big book, which is great, right? Because it's been really well used. What he wrote in it, I don't know if you can see this. That's my first sponsor's handwriting. Mm. But he wrote, Teddy's Aggressive Therapy for Drugs and Alcohol. and we would read that paragraph at every meeting we had. That was the first thing that we did. So you'd think I'd have it memorized, but not yet. That's coming. This will be a two-speaker meeting. There will be no sharing by attendees, so please sit back, relax, and listen. We often hear that it is best to try and identify with the speakers rather than compare your story with theirs. So without further ado, I would like to introduce our first speaker today, Cesar.
Thank you, Teddy.
Cesar, you have 20 minutes, and what I'll do, I'll hold this up when we're getting close to time, okay?
Beautiful. Thank you, Teddy. Well, my name is Cesar, and I'm an alcoholic. First of all, I want to thank you, Teddy, for inviting me to this wonderful meeting. And also, I want to take the opportunity to thank all who got involved in this project, the Grey One people. So it's out of the way. I don't want to miss that. My sobriety day is January 6, 1996, and my home group is one of the Spanish-speaking groups in the Area 09, which is one of the areas of California. So I'm going to start how I start drinking. You know, I believe 14 when the alcohol was introduced to me. And my childhood was, I was a little shy, you know, and I remember that when I first drank, my whole life changed. And so I became more talkative, and I also started making more friends. You know, I was so young. I was a kid. And so I said, I remember that I was living with my parents, and they didn't like that, to see me going into that path. So an idea came to my mind, and I said, well, maybe when I became 18, I'm just going to be away from my dad and my mom so I can live my life the way I wanted it. But at that time, I was in their homes, and I was going to school, and I didn't behave well. And the other thing that I remember is that my family was as you can see, I'm coming from the Hispanic family, from the Mexican family. They were so religious. My grandpa, my mom, my grandma, my mom, and my dad. And I had this introduction to my higher power, as I understood him at that moment, that maybe because I was behaving that way, probably my higher power was punishing me, you know. And then I said, well, if I'm going to be, punished by this guy that I was introduced, maybe I should not care about anything else. So my alcoholism, I didn't know that it was a disease, you know. And so my alcoholism, of course, I was drinking more often, and I dropped out of school. I was not a good kid, to be honest, you know, and I was the oldest of five. And I remember my dad used to talk to me and say, hey, I don't know, I love you so much, but you are not a good example of my other kids, you know. And so I always had these arguments and fight with my dad. And now that I'm that I understand, I cannot imagine how because my dad loves you so much, but there was a point that he said, you know what, I think you should go away, you know, because I don't want my other kids, you know, to follow your path. I was not a good example. So I turned 18 and I said, yeah, I'm going to leave the house. I didn't leave the house until I was 19. 19, I emigrated to the United States. When I emigrated to the United States, you know, I found this freedom over here. I was alone. I was with away from my family the way I wanted it. And I came with friends, and one of the greatest things that I see is like I see all kinds of beers, you know, the liquor places. Oh my goodness! I said, you know what? This is what I wanted. But then I would start because the disease was coming with me. You know, I was I became a heavy drinker, you know, with a lot of problems, to be honest. And my life was a disaster, and I think I was, before I came to AA, I was drinking like every day. And I was 20 years old. And thanks to a nice family that I was living, I think it was like a 4 or 5 months that I didn't pay rent. And thanks to them, I was not a homeless. I was practically homeless because I was not able to pay the rent to them. They were so nice, so kind. And at that moment, a friend of mine, a relative, came to visit me. And he said, look at you. Look at the way you're living, you know, and come with me. I'm gonna take you to a place. I didn't know. I thought it was going to be a religion or another place, you know, but you need to do something for your life, because my life didn't have purpose. So I was introduced to my first AA meeting, you know, and at the beginning, I knew I had a problem. I knew I was not able to pay my rent or maybe to have a job that I can be able to pay my bills. But at the same time, you know, I look at these people at the meeting, and believe me, I was so, you know, judging the people. I said, I don't think these people will help me, you know. Maybe if I learn how to drink, you know, like not the way I was drinking, probably my life would be better. But at the beginning, to be honest, Teddy, I didn't like you guys. You know, I went to my first meeting, you know, and I was just saying, hey, all people were smoking at the meeting. It was back in 1995. And it was the meeting, it was so unbalanced. There was a lot of old people, maybe middle people. I was 20 years old, and I was looking around. I said, what am I doing here? What? And then it was people say, oh, do you want a coffee? And it is funny because I've been telling, every time I tell my story, I said, hey, do you know, in my mind, I said, I don't even want to be here. How do you think I'm going to accept a cup of coffee, you know? And so anyway, so it was my process at the beginning. So I don't remember much about my first meeting. The only thing I remember, there was a lot of smoke and people was want to become my friends and said, hey, you are young, you know, you could, you have the problem of alcoholism, this could be maybe a good start. So maybe you can start being honest with yourself. And so this person who introduced me to my first AA meeting became my sponsor. And he pretty much took me to my first 6 months going to the meetings. And I have a few relapse at the beginning because I was not taking seriously the program. And I did not even identify myself as an alcoholic or as a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. I was just like a visitor going to the meetings and we will talk about in the car, hey, how do you like the meeting? What do you like? Do you understand? But I know it was the process. And then after 6 months, he said, you know what? Well, I already, you know, the way of going to the meetings. I don't know if you're going to take this program seriously. And it's up to you. But now you need to start walking your own. And, you know, I feel so hurt. I said, hey, I said to myself, you want me to come to the meetings, but now you are saying, I didn't have a car. I said, now you're saying that you're going to take me anymore to the meeting. So, anyway, I remember one afternoon I said, well, I feel like I want to continue drinking, but at the same time, I feel like I want to go to AA. So I took the bus and, I think that was the best decision I made at the beginning. So I took the bus. I went to my first meeting, now this time by my own, and that was January 6, 1996. I went to the meeting, I sat down myself, I listened to all the members, and at the end of the meeting, I raised my hand, I went to the podium, I said, hey, my name is Cesar and I'm an alcoholic, but I don't know how to stop drinking. I need your help. Then I feel like everybody on the meeting embraced me and said, hey, this is my number. You know, I know you don't have a car. We can take you home, but you're not alone, you know. And so that's how I started to working with this program. There was another younger person. I think he was like maybe in his 30s, and he was like around 30 years old. And he said, and you need to have a sponsor. I said, will you be able to be my sponsor? I said, yeah. So I started working the steps with him. I remember we used to go to the park before the meetings with the 12 and 12 and the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous in Spanish. And I remember he said, you need to read the first step and you need to understand what is the content. So, and he gave me like homework, you know, you need to read. And then tomorrow we're going to talk about more about this. And I know it was not an easy steps of Alcoholics Anonymous and life change, you know, when I finished all the process, I feel like I was different, a different life. I feel like my life was having a purpose, and that's how everything changed. You know, that home group became my family. You know, and I remember that how I made amends with my dad and my mom and my brothers and the people I hurt. You know, and even with myself, I think that was amazing. How the beginning I started with you. Then, because it's part of my story, I was introduced to service. I do understand that service is old since, at the group, I think I was a CAF person. That was my first service and that meeting. And then I became a secretary for the meeting. And I was introduced to general service as well. I went to my first district meeting and then to the area meeting. And how amazing was at the same time, you know, in my first 3 years of doing the steps, I remember my sponsors also told me, we are here in the United States. You need to learn the language because I didn't know any word in English. So as you can see, I still struggling maybe to pronounce it well. But I went to school, you know, and I thanks to the support of my sponsor and the fellow members, I finished some courses like the GED. I completed my GED and some other programs that I did. You know, some. I went to college and, when I went to my first area meeting, I see that there was all the meetings in English. What a gift to me because I wanted to practice. And then the AA vocabulary, I know it's a little different than the, maybe from the outside world. So I said, and then I see this person, you know, talking with many people on the meeting. I said, I want to be that person, you know. He seems like so knowledgeable. And it seems to me like that person knew everything. And then I talked to my sponsor. I said, hey, who is that guy? You know, they called the delegate. I said, well, I was just a GSR and general service representative for my group. And he said, well, I think you first need to do some service in your district and then maybe become a coffee person at the area, because at the area there is a coffee person position. So I became, I did some district position and then I became a coffee person at the area. I thought I was the best coffee person that the area and I could even have, you know, but it was just my ego. Then I was introduced to the grapevine and La Viña. Oh my goodness, what a wonderful gift, you know. And I knew many people from different places, you know, all the workshops and thanks to general service structure, I've been able to meet many people, travel for all over the, you know, almost within the United States. And I think that's a miracle for me because my window of seeing AA, and I'm not saying that being at the meeting is not a good thing. I think I'm very grateful for the people who was at the meeting when I came and that they were open the door and they have all this place clean for the newcomer. But I do understand that there is some other people who does maybe things in the background of AA that they don't know. And because of them, AA is available for all of us. You know, I'm so grateful for that because, like I said, when I was introduced to the Grave and La Viña, I remember in my English sobriety, my home was 1996. We were getting some subscriptions of La Viña. I remember having those magazines coming to my group, to the home group and read the story and see how it is so effective to carry the message to many places that as a group we cannot be able to reach at them, you know. And I was so excited. I believe I was so excited back in 2000 when I was, like I said, when I was a GSR. And I think I wrote my story in La Viña and it was printed, you know, it was printed in a magazine. And what an excitement. I remember I went to my home group and to the area. I said, hey, look, my story, a little bit of my story, it is printed on the magazine. And I think that is that excitement for me, it was more inspiration to continue, you know. At the same time, you know, I continue going to the meetings and to do service because my life has changed. You know, I could say that I'm a miracle of the program. I can just look back in the way I was drinking and the way I was living my life without purpose. I think I am so grateful now that I have this program. January 6th of this year, I complete 30 years of sobriety. And like Teddy was saying at the beginning, now look at we have the great, by all the great resources, we have so much books, the online store, and now I have my apps and my iPhone and my phone. sorry. And I have Lavinia app and I have the Graben app. And when I turn in the morning, I can see all the daily code in my, on my phone in both languages, English and Spanish. And when I when I complete 30 years of sobriety, I remember I just woke up. I don't even know because I'm, sometimes I'm not counting, you know, the days. And I just went to my phone and I say, okay, I want to just see what is the daily reflection or the daily code. And then I opened the Grapevine and then I see all these balloons and all these cheers. Oh, you have complete 30 years, you know. Believe me, my excitement, my day was so nice, you know. I think that was, and then I went to the Spanish and I was waiting for Las Mañanitas song. But no, again, these balloons came out from the apps and I think that was so nice to see how what Grapevine and Lavinia has become. I remember it was 1996. Today, I'm 30 years of sobriety and I looking forward to continue with this road. I know we're going to have an event of Lavinia. We're going to complete, we're going to celebrate 30 years of having Lavinia for the Spanish speaking members. And I'm so excited about that event and having this friendship with friends and see how Lavinia, of course, with the Grapevine, it's been so effective going to places where as a group, like I said, we were not able to reach at them, you know. And so and in conclusion, I am just so grateful that I met you. I think I made the best decision on my life because I've been making some many decisions, sometimes not too good, but the one that I did when I step into the bus and not going to the liquor store or to other places, because in my mind, I have some other ideas of that weekend, but for the grace of my higher powers, I understand him. It took me to my meeting and then sat in that meeting and having the willingness to continue, I think that was the best decision I made. And that opened the window so I can become freedom of this disease by attending the meetings and also to be able to raise my hand to become a coffee person. And I can go on and all the places. And I'm looking also forward for the incoming, you know. I don't know what is going to happen, but one thing I know, that if I stick coming to the meetings, good things will come for me and my life has a purpose. Thank you so much, Teddy. That's my two cents.
Thank you very much, Cesar. That was beautiful. Yeah, I loved how you described that transition that can happen, happened for me when I ceased being a visitor to AA and I joined and became a member of AA. I'm so glad you got on the bus that day and that we get to be here today. So some quick announcements. The seventh tradition of AA states that every group should be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions, and AA members can help by contributing to your group, your local central office or intergroup, your area and your district, and to the General Service Board. And there's a pamphlet called Self-Support Where Money and Spirituality Mix, and you can find that at aa.org. But Grapevine does not accept contributions. But of course, we do have expenses. And so the way that Grapevine seeks to pay for itself is by asking members to support what we do by subscribing to the magazine, either in print, online, or on the apps, or all three. You can do that. I do that. You can do that at aagrapevine.org. And you can also subscribe to the app by searching for AA Grapevine on the App Store or on your phone. You can also purchase Grapevine Books, and you'll see in Chrissy's Square, that's our latest book, the Gratitude Book, which has just been published. And Grapevine Books include the best of the Grapevine over the last 80 plus years, 82 years, the Grapevine has been publishing every month without fail. And so over that 82 years, there's a lot of really great stuff that's come from the membership, and that's preserved in our books. So you can also find our online bookstore at aagrapevine.org. You can also carry the message to people who are incarcerated, hospitalized, live in remote areas, or are stuck at home. And so visit aagrapevine.org and click on the Carry the Message project to learn more. We also invite you to listen to our other weekly podcast, the AA Grapevine Half Hour Variety Hour, which is available for free on all podcast platforms. And you guessed it, at aagrapevine.org. In fact, why don't you just go to aagrapevine.org and explore? There's so much there. Finally, you know, if you are on social media, please follow us, AA Grapevine and Lavinia, on Instagram and YouTube. Thank you for mentioning the app, Cesar. I was looking at the app today. One of the cool features of the app, which is available in the free version, you can download it for free, and also in the paid version, is your sobriety calculator. I have, by the power of the 12 steps, today 7,408 days.
Wow.
Finishing. When I think I couldn't hold together an hour before I came to AA. So that's a miracle. Now I would like to introduce our second speaker, Joanne.
Thank you, Teddy. Hi, everyone. I'm an alcoholic. My name is Joanne, and my sobriety date is June 12, 2002. My home group is the Lunch Bunch group that meets at on Tuesdays at noontime in Petaluma, California. So you're all invited to come. If you're ever in Petaluma, please come and visit us. My sponsor's name is Joyce, and I always start my shares by saying, all three of those things are vital to my sobriety today. And thank you, Cesar, for your share. I related to so much of what you said. And thank you, Teddy, for asking me to share today. So, I am, you know, whenever I have a sobriety birth date, I always reflect about where I came from and remembering what a real miracle it is that I'm still sober today, or that I even found Alcoholics Anonymous, because I know for myself, when I was in my disease, stopping drinking wasn't the problem. Drinking was the solution, you know? So it never occurred to me that I needed to stop drinking in order to solve my problems, you know? So it just amazes me that I believe that the reason I'm in Alcoholics Anonymous today is because I know my higher power had a plan for me and kind of put these little angels in my way that brought me here. So my drinking started when I think my first drink was around 15. I know I grew up in a home that was pretty chaotic. My father was an alcoholic and died of this disease when he was 58. In my family, when there was money, I remember there was always a big bottle of Jim Beam on the kitchen counter. And when there was no money, there was about a half gallon of cheap red wine on the counter. And when I was 15, I figured out how to siphon off that bottle without anybody finding out, because I would excuse myself to wash the dishes. And so from a very early age, I figured out how I could steal my booze and be very sneaky about it and hide it. One of the things I loved to do was I would try to get at least two tumblers full of whatever was on the counter and hide it away and wait for my parents to pass out, because they used to do that quite frequently. And then when they would pass out, I would go out to the backyard where we had a swimming pool, and I would put one glass on one end of the pool and another glass on the other end of the pool. And then I would go skinny dipping. And I love to go underneath the water, come up, get a gulp of booze, and then go underneath the water again and come up and get a gulp of booze. And the feeling that I had when I was doing that, it was peaceful. It was so peaceful underneath the water. Because there was no screaming, there was no yelling, there was nobody breaking dishes, there was not the chaos that was in my life at that time. And I loved that sense of peace and quiet. And so that was kind of like my introduction to drinking. And it was like I craved that feeling. And so my drinking took off as soon as I had to get out of that house. And so as soon as I was 18, I ended up leaving home and getting married and trying to do the adult thing, working and having a house and blah, 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 all that other stuff. But my drinking kept progressing. And that first marriage, I got married at 18, and that first marriage didn't last very long. I think we were divorced by the time I was 26. And after that, I never equated the fact that it was the drinking that was making my life unsuccessful. I just remember during that period of time, I never got fired from a job for drinking. I mean, I really believe that by the time I was 20, I was probably drinking round the clock. And every night I would drink until either I passed out or blacked out. But by the time I was in my early 20s, I just remember feeling very, very that it was where I was, that was, it was where I lived, what I was with. And if I could just find the right job, live in the right place, have the right relationship, I would be okay. And so during that period of time, I moved an awful lot. I changed jobs an awful lot. I never got fired for my drinking because I had that uncanny ability to get out of Dodge before I got fired. But it was always that restless, irritable, and discontent in my life that, you know, what was going to fix me? And I never quite figured it out. And so by the time I was 27 years of age, I ended up in San Francisco living with my grandmother. And the reason I was there was my grandmother was dying of pancreatic cancer. And so under the guise of caring for grandma, you know, I moved in with her. But the real truth of the matter was my grandmother was too sick to see how sick I was. And that's where I ended up. And I was a waitress at that time. And I worked in this coffee shop restaurant, and as a waitress on the it was a swing shift, so it was in the evening. And every Tuesday night at about 9 o'clock, this group of people would come into the restaurant. They would fill up the entire restaurant. They were from this thing called Alcoholics Anonymous. And so they would fill up the restaurant. And I used to tell the other waitresses, you know, those people from Alcoholics Anonymous will drive you to drink, because I used to always have to have a stiff drink before I would go wait on them. And what happened for me at that time was there was a very cute guy in that group. And we started flirting with each other. And he happened to ask me out. And the only time we could go out was in the morning. And so I go, oh my God, you know, I'm going out on a date with this guy, that poor guy. So I know I can't drink. So on this date, I decided I was not going to drink because I felt so sorry for him. So I remember going out on this date with him, and he figured out very, very quickly that I had a problem with alcohol, because I can remember that morning, my hands were shaking. I was sweating. I probably had that wonderful aroma that we all have when we're detoxing from drinking. But at the same time, I remembered that date as being one of the best days that I've had in a long time, because this guy was sober. He was 6 years sober. He had a sparkle in his eyes. He was so much fun to be with. I hadn't laughed so hard like that in a long time. He was actually he was so attractive. And, you know, I know today now that that's that spiritual experience that we have when we get to connect to this program of recovery, that it brings out our true essence, which is joy and happiness, you know. So anyway, after this date with him, he told me very carefully that he didn't think he could see me again because he thought I had a problem with alcohol. And that wasn't the first time anybody had ever told me that. And so I remember going home that night after being told that, and I thought, oh, maybe I'll ask him to take me to one of those meetings and get a second date, right? So I told him that the next time I saw him, and he looked at me and he had that look in his eyes, and he said these words that were very stern. If you want help for your drinking, he reached into his pocket. He pulled out a card. He says, you call this woman. And he turned and walked away. And so I remember that night I went home and I was watching television. And there was a movie on that night. And it was a movie about a woman alcoholic. And I'm sitting there watching this movie going, oh. She drinks, I drink like that. And I'm identifying with how she's drinking. And then this woman got into recovery in this movie. And I had this card with this woman's phone number. And I thought, oh my goodness. And I made a decision to call this woman. And she didn't ask me a thing about my drinking when I called her. She just started talking about her drinking. And again, I started identifying with her. So when she asked me to go meet her at a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, I said, sure. And that was my beginning in Alcoholics Anonymous. That woman became my first sponsor. She took me to meetings. She worked the steps with me. And what I found was my life changed dramatically from that point. I was able to do so many things because I got sober. I remember going back to school, getting a good paying job, eventually getting married and having a couple of kids. But then what happened to me was every time. So I moved quite a few times in my early sobriety. And every time I moved, I would remember I needed a home group and a sponsor. And that happened for maybe like three moves. But by the time it got to the fourth move, I didn't do that. I didn't get a home group. I didn't get a new sponsor. And what happened to me was I drifted away from the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. Today, I look back at that drifting, and that was one of the biggest mistakes for me. Is I need to get a home group. I needed to get a home group because for me, my home group is my anchor in Alcoholics Anonymous. It's that one meeting that I never miss. Every week I go there. And so what happened for me was I relapsed after 17 years of sobriety, and I was out there for 5 years. And during that 5 years that I was out there, there was absolutely no thought of recovery. Absolutely none. What was in my head was, how can I control and enjoy my drinking? It was the biggest obsession in my mind. And at that point in time, I was married, I had kids, I had a job. None of those things mattered. It was all about how can I control and enjoy my drinking. And so how I came back into the program was, I had been on a trip with my mother, and before going on this trip, I was drinking, and I ended up in an airport where I went into an alcoholic coma, and they had to call an ambulance and put me in the hospital. And when I came to, they were trying to tell me that my blood alcohol was 0.39. They wanted me to go into recovery. They wanted me to, you know, they were trying to tell me I was sick, and I couldn't hear it. I couldn't hear it because of my disease. And I looked at my mother and I said, let's call a cab. Let's get out of here and go on this trip. And I left the hospital and went on a 30-day cruise. And when I came back from that cruise, my poor husband had gotten the hospital bill. He had gotten the ambulance bill. He met me at the end of this trip, and he was so worried about me. And that night after he picked me up, I ended up getting drunk. Now, my husband knew enough to not say anything to me while I was drinking. But the very next morning, he looked at me and he said, you know, it's been a long time. You were away on this trip. And the first thing you wanted when you came home was a bottle. And he just looked at me and he said, I miss you. And he started to cry. And in that moment in time, I could see, and I would swear on a stack of Bibles, I'd never seen that pain in his face. But in this morning, I saw that pain in his face. And I went to work that day and I got confronted by my boss, who said, you know, there's been reports of you drinking on the job. And if you want to keep your job, you need to go into recovery. And that was when I said I agreed to go back into recovery. But I have to tell you this, that even though I had been an Alcoholics Anonymous before for 17 years, that first year coming back after that relapse was not pleasant, because I knew what AA wanted me to do. They wanted me to work these steps. They wanted me to make amends. They wanted me. And I was at a place in time where I was wanting to hold on to blaming others for the state of my life. I was not in a place where I could take responsibility for my life. But I did go back into recovery in order to keep my job. And as a result of working the steps this time around, I started to see, where I had given up taking responsibility for my life, where I had given up taking responsibility for my serenity and my happiness. And coming back into Alcoholics Anonymous, the thing that saved me the most was getting into service. After working the steps and making my amends, getting into service and realizing that Alcoholics Anonymous was the one place where I could find that peace, that contentment, and that joy that I had been wanting all along as a result of working the steps. And getting back into service really increased that. I found my way into general service, which has been the joy of my life. It's been the last 20 some odd years is being of service to Alcoholics Anonymous and trying to give back what was given to me by making sure that Alcoholics Anonymous is that we protect and care for our 12 traditions, our 12 steps, and our 12 concepts, and that Alcoholics Anonymous remains the same. I don't know if that's exactly the way I want to speak, to put this, that Alcoholics Anonymous remains healthy so that it will be here for the person that hasn't found us yet. That our message stays, has the integrity of that it's always has. That by having these 12 steps, these 12 traditions and 12 concepts, that we maintain, oh God, I'm sorry, my brain is just going boom, 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 boom right now at the moment. I just want to say this, that the program has given me a connection to a power greater than myself that allows me to be a person, the person I always wanted to be a good wife, a good mother, a good member of Alcoholics Anonymous, a good citizen of the world. Those things I couldn't do by myself. I needed help. And I get that help with the 12 steps, the 12 traditions, and the 12 concepts, because they teach me how to be in this world. And those were things that I did not know how to do until I got here. But the joy of this program is trying to give it away. And the thing that I lacked before was I didn't sponsor. And today I am a sponsor, and I love that more than anything else, because it keeps me in our literature, it keeps me in our program, and it keeps me in service. And you know, what can I say? That is my greatest joy today. And thank you, Teddy, for asking me to share. And I think that's all I have.
Thank you so much, Joanne. And I loved when you were describing that experience that you had in the swimming pool when you were younger, and submerging and feeling that peace, and the association of that with alcohol at that young age. I hear a lot of that in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, alcohol is a place, you know, for many of us of safety, when all around us can be traumatic, and a refuge. Of course, it's not really a refuge as you found out. But I was also struck by the ritualization of that as well. Mm-hmm. That's certainly something I can identify with. My drinking became very ritualized, especially towards the end. And I love how you found that peace and enjoyment again, right? And I related to that because, you know, this program of Alcoholics Anonymous has given me peace of mind. Mm-hmm. Or a mind that never used to stop or shut off or, you know, pause. And to have that peace of mind is really priceless. And of course, you both mentioned, you know, service. When I was newly sober, I was assigned to write a story for a magazine about recovery, me and my 60 days, right? So what I know, but my editor had the good sense to say, why don't you go interview people? And so I did. And one of them, I kind of asked him, how do you stay sober? And he said, I can't tell you, but I can tell you what I did differently. And what I did was I threw myself into service. And I've never forgotten that, because I would hear in the rooms, service will keep you sober, you know, kind of a cliche. But again, that's been my experience, and it sounds like it's been your experience too, both of you. Certainly a real important part of, you know, how we get to be here and show up today. And now we will go back to the script, which is somewhere here. There we go. Thank you all for coming today. And please let your friends know about our meeting. This is an open meeting. So it's also ideal for friends who want to learn more about Alcoholics Anonymous, and who may not be alcoholics themselves. That could be family members. It could also be people that you come across if you're doing cooperation with the Professional Community Service or Public Information Service as well. Those folks are welcome here too. So I'd like to thank again Cesar and Joanne for joining us this morning and sharing some of your experience, strength, and hope with us, and for accepting my invitation to be here today. You know, one of the great things about getting to serve as the secretary for this meeting is I get to reach out, you know, to the people who inspire me. And so I want both of you to know that you inspire me, and I love you. And I'm just so grateful that our paths crossed in sobriety. It just gives me the chills. So thank you for being here. And so now what I would like to do is to ask Cesar to close this out with a prayer of your choice, Cesar.
Oh, thank you, Teddy. Yeah, absolutely. Would you say, believe, the Serenity Prayer? Mm-hmm. And
God,
grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Teddy.
Thank you.
We have a couple of minutes left. I'll share something with you. Because there were always, you know, there had been online AA meetings for a very long time. There was about 200 of them before the pandemic. And of course, when the COVID-19 pandemic hit, most of the fellowship, yeah, there were still a few pockets here and there that were doing things carefully, but most of the fellowship gravitated to online. And one of the first things I noticed was how difficult it became to say the Serenity Prayer together, because we were all different, and it would be very disorienting. And so what I did was I would use to silence my computer and say the Serenity Prayer and then unmute it, and I'd finish. And what I found, because when we started going back in person, what I found was that I'd slowed down. And the way in which I say the Serenity Prayer is slow. I regulate it with my breathing. And so if during the Serenity Prayer you don't see my lips moving, it's because I'm with you, but I'm letting you say it at your pace. So just thought I would mention that. One of the unforeseen benefits of the pandemic was that it helped me slow down and really savor that prayer.
Yeah.
A lot more. We're coming now to the top of the hour, and Chris will let us know when that is. Any final thoughts from either of you? Briefly, 30 seconds each.
30 seconds each. Thank you so much for asking me to speak. I always feel so much better afterwards, and feel connected, which I appreciate so much.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate Grapevine people for all this wonderful effort. And thank you, Chris, and thank you, Lavinia, people as well. Also, Teddy, you also inspire me a lot. So Thank you very much.
That's what we do. We help each other out here.
Yeah.
Thank you both. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.